Einstein continued to be troubled by the fact that his theory could not predict either the time or the direction in which the light quantum emitted as an electron jumps from one energy level to a lower one. Nevertheless, he had written in 1916, "I fully trust in the reliability of the road taken." He believed it was a road that would eventually lead to a restoration of causality. In his lecture, Bohr argued that no exact determination of time and direction was ever possible. The two men found themselves on opposite sides. In the days that followed, each tried to convert the other to his point of view as they walked the streets of Berlin together or dined at Einstein's home. "Seldom in my life has a person given me such pleasure by his mere presence as you have," Einstein wrote to Bohr soon after he returned to Copenhagen. "I am now studying your great publications and, unless I happen to get stuck somewhere, have the pleasure of seeing before me your cheerful boyish face smiling and explaining." The Dane had made a deep and lasting impression. "Bohr was here, and I am just as enamored of him as you are," Einstein told Paul Ehrenfest a few days later. "He is like a sensitive child and walks about this world in a kind of hypnosis." Bohr was equally intent in trying to convey, in his less-than-polished German, what it meant to him to have met Einstein. "It was to me one of my greatest experiences to have met you and to talk to you. You cannot imagine what a great inspiration it was for me to hear your views from you in person." Bohr did so again quite soon, as Einstein made a fleeting visit as he stopped off in Copenhagen in August on his way back from a trip to Norway. "He is a highly gifted and excellent man," Einstein wrote to Lorentz after seeing Bohr. "It is a good omen for physics that prominent physicists are mostly also splendid people." Einstein had become the target of two men who were not. Philippe Lenard, whose experimental work on the photoelectric effect Einstein had used in 1905 in support of his light quanta, and Johannes Stark, the discoverer of the splitting of spectral lines by an electric field, had become rabid anti-Semites. The two Nobel laureates were behind an organization calling itself the Working Group of German Scientists for the Preservation of Pure Science, whose prime aim was to denounce Einstein and relativity. On 24th of August 1920, the group held a meeting at Berlin's Philharmonic Hall and attacked relativity as Jewish physics, and its creator as both a plagiarist and a charlatan. Not to be intimidated, Einstein went along with Walter Nernst and watched the proceedings from a private box as he was vilified. Refusing to rise to the bait, he said nothing.